You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
We're back, ready to go on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN, and as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Welcome aboard. Scott Unash back with you. Mark Dukes on the other side of the table, and Ryan with us with his 1600 ESPN cap. Proudly adorning the top of his head as he joins us here today. Isaac is off today, and I believe the remainder of the week. Isn't that correct, Mark?
Believe so. Very fashionable, Ryan, by the way.
Very fashionable. Yeah. Looks good. We got a good show coming up for you today. Rob Grave, Cyclone Fanatic, and the Cedar Rapids Gazette's going to join us. We're going to talk Iowa State spring football with you. Cyclones wrapping that up recently. And also some basketball news out of Ames to talk about with Rob. So we will do that coming up in the back half of the program here and talk about what's happening in the day. Leading us up to that particular juncture. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600 is that number as well here in Eastern Iowa. Great to be back. Thanks to Isaac. Sounds like you guys had a very good show yesterday. It's always a good show after the NFL draft is completed, and you got to talk to John Steppe, and he had a lot of good things to say, I hear.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun yesterday, and glad to have you back, and good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And frankly, I was very happy to learn that you were none of the members of your party, your friends, were identified as the heckler at Progressive Field on Sunday.
No,
You were there.
I was there. I was there, as a matter of fact. Yep, full disclosure, went with a group of friends, and we went to Cleveland area, Canton, Cleveland. Had a great time. Left after the show on Thursday. Had a little tire issue, but now that just, you know, delayed a couple of hours. And our arrival to the Chicago area, went into Cleveland and took in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Had not been there since 1976. It has changed. And then the Christmas Story House as well. If you're ever in Cleveland, please go to the Christmas Story House. They have a museum there. That you can tour the house where they filmed the classic A Christmas Story. Went there, and then Sunday went to the Cleveland-Boston Red Sox game. And we were in the left field bleachers in row three, so we were 180 degrees away from what happened. Unfortunately, what happened during the seventh inning stretch was really where we heard some. By that time, the Red Sox already were up by 9 runs, and we heard some commotion over there, and not exactly sure. We didn't know until later that night what happened, but yeah, that's a sad situation, and hopefully they've got that person identified or people identified and going to take the necessary necessary things to keep them away from a ballpark. So we don't need that. And got to see a catcher pitch. That was cool. In the ninth inning for the Cleveland Guardians. Nice ballpark. Pro Football Hall of Fame, if you have a chance to go, if you've never been there, it is amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Spent almost 6 hours there, and it was just incredible. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame lived up to all expectations. And Cleveland's got a bad rap, man. Cleveland, and I've heard this from a couple different people before we left, that it's a nice city.
I've never been. That's one city I've never been. And interesting to hear you say that. It is underrated, huh?
It is underrated. It is very clean, very friendly, very vibrant. They are doing a terrific job in the downtown area of getting it back and on its feet, and it's done a tremendous job. And yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about Cleveland. So,
do they have Shedeur Sanders banners hanging from buildings like the Caitlin Clark banners you see everywhere? Or
no.
You were there during the NFL draft, and the Cavs are hot right now.
Yeah, it's so. Cavs. It's all Cleveland Cavs right now. Cavaliers. I mean, the Guardians were kind of the Cavs aren't playing here this weekend, so let's maybe go to the Guardians game. They had 25,000 there on Sunday for the Guardians game. But, yeah, right now it is nothing but Cleveland Cavalier fever in Cleveland. Now, I will say Shedeur's fever has not picked up yet. They, being out downtown on Friday evening, rounds 2 and 3, when he did not get picked, Cleveland had the first pick, and everybody was very attentive for the pick. They wanted Shedeur. Did not get Shedeur. They weren't upset. Nobody was throwing anything or anything like that. But when Dylan Gabriel came up, there was some eyebrows raised. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, that was the topic of conversation with people around the ballpark at the Guardians game. And it wasn't so much, hey, great, Shador's coming. It's like, what in the world is going on with this quarterback room in Cleveland? So Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is right next to where the Cleveland Browns play, so on the lakefront. And I don't know what the Browns are doing. I don't think anybody knows what the Browns are doing at this point. I don't think the Browns know what they're doing at this point.
Yeah, the quarterback room is interesting with Deshaun Watson being down with an Achilles injury and bringing in a 40-year-old quarterback and a couple of rookies and kind of a four-horse race right there. I'm not sure how it's going to pan out, but sounds like a really fun trip.
It was. It was really good. We had said for years, this group, that, okay, we need to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know? Two guys hadn't been there and need to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Got to go. And we're not getting any younger. Let's just do it. And did it. And it was a great time. If you ever had the chance to do so, please do. It is well worth the trip. Well worth the trip. And Ohio is a good place. Fun place. Had a good time. And now I'm back to entertain Eastern Iowa.
Let's do it.
319-366-1600 as we come your way in a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. A little bit of sad news to start the program off today, as well as somebody had for a while anyway, was a very big name in this town, passed away here recently.
Ted Oglesby, you may remember him as a basketball coach, may remember him as a pretty darn good golfer. Might remember him as Josh Oglesby's father.
Yep.
He has passed away, and got to know Ted personally, a few years ago, and just a wonderful guy, and really had a terrific basketball coaching career, and just a fun guy to be around.
Yeah, our condolences to the Oglesby family for the loss, and yeah, just always remember him being around in Iowa City at the Hawkeye games when Josh was there, when he was at Wash and other places. And like you said, really good golfer. Really good golfer. And is definitely going to be missed. 319-366-1600 on the Gym Class program as we get you ready to go here. Rob Gray going to join us coming up in a little bit. Should mention as well, John Venezia is going to join us tomorrow to talk fantasy baseball, so get your fantasy baseball questions ready to go. And then one of our favorites will be back on Thursday, Barry Abrams from ESPN, covers horse racing for ESPN. It's Derby week, everybody. That snuck up on me. Did it sneak up on you?
No, I mentioned it on the scoreboard yesterday. Of course, you were en route, but Only because those of us in the business, we already have our horses tabbed. Journalism and publisher. Two of the horses in the 20 horse field.
And Bob Baffert's back.
He is.
The suspension is over. Back, welcomed with open arms. I guess with open arms in Louisville. But, we're going to talk with Barry Abrams on Thursday. And we may have a topic on Friday, our first one. It'll be May.
We've got a couple lined up.
It'll be May 2nd, and we got a couple of those, and I think we're going to do that coming up on Friday. We will let you know about that. Big Ten today with basketball season, a good 6 months away or so, Mark. But we got basketball news to talk about today as far as the Big Ten is concerned. The teams that each of the Big Ten institutions play in conference competition next year, the 20-game conference slate. We don't know the dates. We don't know the order. But we know whom each team is going to play. You're going to have a 20-game conference schedule, 17 other teams. So that plays out to you play 14 teams, single games. You play three teams, home and away. It's a much different situation. We've talked about it before than in the past. But at any rate, for the Iowa men's basketball team under first-year coach Ben McCollum, they will play these three teams home and away next year. That will be the new-look Maryland Terrapins. Don't ask me who's going to be on their roster. They have a coach. We know that. Other than that, we don't know much about the Maryland Terrapins. The Nebraska Cornhuskers, home and away next year. Not sure that's what Price Sanford wanted, Price Sanford wanted, being a former Hawkeye and a newcomer in Lincoln, but he's going to have to come back and face the music, I guess, for lack of a better term. And this is probably not a good draw. The Purdue Boilermakers, who most people have in their top five next year for the way too early and silly top 25s for college men's basketball. But Purdue, if everybody comes back that is eligible to come back and they get a couple newcomers, which they already have, Purdue could be the favorite in the Big Ten Conference next year. And Iowa's going to get them twice. And if you read between the lines, more often than not, Iowa has Purdue in that opener every single year. And wouldn't shock me again if that is the case.
Yeah, Purdue having to play Purdue twice is not necessarily a bargain in Ben McCollum's first season. I know one of the road games is at Michigan State. One of the road games is at Wisconsin. Those teams will not go to Carver-Hawkeye Arena. But it is what it is. And the West Coast schools are going to play home and away. Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA, they're all going to play each other, one another twice. And frankly, I'm really disappointed in you, Scott, because when you started talking about college basketball, I really thought you were going to talk about Joe Lunardi's first bracketology.
No.
Which I ran across today, and Iowa and Iowa State are both in it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
That and 10 cents will buy you a cup of coffee.
Well, just remember that when you bring it up next month.
I don't think it's going to change much. Well, actually, you'll get some more guys out of the portal in there. To go over Iowa's opponents, the home single games will be against Illinois, Michigan, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and for the first time, UCLA and USC. Will come to Iowa City. Iowa will be on the road for Indiana, Michigan State. They have not been up to East Lansing in a while. So they will go next year. One game only against Minnesota, and it will be at the Barn. It will be at Penn State, at Wisconsin. Only one game against the Badgers next year. And then the other two West Coast teams, Iowa will head to Seattle and Eugene for the first time in men's basketball, at least as conference opponents, to take on the Washington Huskies and the Oregon Ducks. So That is the conference schedule. So we know 20 games next year for what Ben McCollum and the Hawkeyes are going to face. We know a couple more with the Thanksgiving week tournament. So what, 10 more games roughly that are yet to be announced.
Good portion of the schedule for sure. And, you know, you get what you get when the Big Ten schedules come out. And you mentioned Purdue oftentimes being the conference opener. I hope that's not the case, but having to go to Illinois won't be a bargain. Brad Underwood recruiting every 22-year-old European player that he can. Last year it worked pretty well. And we mentioned Wisconsin, Michigan State on the road, Indiana on the road. Again, you get what you get.
Recruiting 22-year-old Europeans, is that worse than what you're going to have for us on the scoreboard?
We'll see.
319-366-1600, if you'd like to weigh in on the Big Ten men's basketball schedule. And again, you know what? We know Purdue's going to be good. And Iowa's going to have to face them home and away. Other than that, it's at this point, it is basically, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the rosters are going to look like really at this point. So don't get too worked up. Don't get too down in the dumps.
Yeah.
It's just, this is the schedule you're going to have. And the women's schedule, not out yet. We're all concentrating on what's going to happen on Sunday, by the way, with Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever coming over for the preseason game or exhibition game, whatever you prefer. So that'll be coming up on Sunday. That's been moved to ESPN National Television. They will have that. And imagine a lot of people are going to be making their way down to Iowa City. Should be a very interesting day, and we'll see what happens.
Preseason game on national TV.
First one, correct?
Ever?
In the WNBA?
I got to believe so. I don't know, but it's a Brazilian national team. I don't know what kind of if they went into the portal this year and have pretty good. I don't know. But it's sold out, which just tells you the interest there is in not only Clark but the Indiana Fever.
Yeah. Before we get down to the bottom of the hour, get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. I didn't get a chance to ask you about the Chicago Bears draft. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts. Were you a happy Bear fan?
I was not displeased. I initially was a bit taken aback by Loveland, the Michigan tight end, going in the first round as opposed to Tyler Warren. But the more I read and saw, Loveland is more of a, you know, he runs a lot of wide receiver routes and has a lot of good qualities. I'm not disappointed there. I was really happy with Bolden, the wide receiver, in the second round. I think the third round offensive tackle, size-wise and what he did in college is fine. We'll see if he can fit in. That's a real need for the Chicago Bears. By and large, I was not displeased, and I know it got pretty good grades from those out there who do such things. And I really thought, you know, to throw it back to you, I thought the Chiefs getting Simmons in the first round, and that's a guy you talked about.
Yep, that's the man I wanted.
Despite the fact he was injured at Ohio State, a lot of people said, man, that was a deep pick in the first round.
I loved it. I gave out a very happy scream in the car when they announced Josh Simmons. I thought it was a really good draft. The interior defensive lineman, stick him in there. The Chiefs lost two interior defensive linemen in the offseason, so I think that the kid from Tennessee has a chance to jump in there and probably start. I like the edge rusher. I really like the back from SMU in the seventh round. I think that was an absolute steal. Hmm. The Chiefs traded up to get him in the seventh round. You don't see that happen very much, but I think he's going to be a need guy, fit in there, and A lot of people think the Chiefs were one of the top three. And again, who knows? It's all going to matter in 3 years. But a lot of good. I think the Midwest teams did very well.
I thought Green Bay did well, especially with Gold in the first round. And Green Bay put on a terrific show. It seemed from what I saw and what not a negative reaction at all. Next year in Pittsburgh, I believe.
Yep, Pittsburgh.
And but Green Bay just put on a heck of a show, and they should be saluted for that.
They should, and I think they were. 200,000-plus people for the first couple of nights, so that says a lot.
Impressive.
Very impressive. 319-366-1600. That is the text line if you'd like to weigh in. Tuesday edition of the Gym Class as we get ready to wrap up April. Coming up tomorrow, May Day coming up on Thursday, and going to talk with Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up in just a little bit. Talked to Iowa football yesterday. We'll talk some Iowa State football. Look at the draft as well. We did get that right. Higgins was the first guy that came off the board. A couple things that really, far as local folks, that I'm not going to say shocked me, but at least surprised me a little bit. Jamari Harris not going. I think that surprised me a little bit, and a little bit of venom out there for the fact that he left the team early to get ready for the NFL draft and then didn't get drafted. Didn't go over real well with some Hawkeye fans out there, and I guess I can't say I blame them at this very moment. Jay Higgins not going doesn't, I guess, totally shock me. I think it's probably going to be a better situation for him to do what he did, sign a free agent contract. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think he's got a good chance to make the team.
Yeah, John Steppe told us yesterday that his combine 40 time maybe hurt him as much as anything. But he's one of those guys, I mean, when you have as many tackles as he did and your first team All-America, that says one of the two things. Either that translates well to the NFL or you're a good college football player. And it's going to be interesting to see how Higgins competes in Baltimore. It'd be great to see him make the team. It's a tough road. It's not uncharted. But I think Higgins will give it everything he can. He'll be fine in the locker room. I thought Caleb Johnson went to maybe not a perfect spot, but a really good spot in Pittsburgh. I think he's going to help that team. And Connor Colby from Kennedy, from what I could find out, one of only 12 players from the metro area high schools that have ever been taken in an NFL draft, and the first one in 10 years. David Perry from Linmar was taken. He played at Stanford?
Yes.
Is that right?
At Stanford.
But there haven't been many. And he's got an opportunity.
Yes, he does. I saw the Kurt Warner bust at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Took a picture of it. He was one of them.
He
wasn't drafted, though.
He wasn't drafted.
Was not drafted.
No.
Did very well for himself, though. 319-366-1600. Before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here, it is time for your chance, your latest chance to enter into the Spring into Cash giveaway with 1600 ESPN. We've teamed up with a national contest to give our listeners a chance to win a $5,000 prize. Today's winning keyword is tree. That's tree. Go to KGYMradio.com right now. Enter that word in the entry form for your chance to win. Again, today's word is tree. Be sure to listen in to Spencer on Sports from 4 until 6 at around 5:30. He will have your next opportunity to enter in to the Spring into Cash giveaway. Right now, we get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on 1st Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. And they are the proud sponsor of our scoreboard update. What we got?
Former Iowa Hawkeye George Kittle agreed to the largest contract in NFL history for a tight end with the San Francisco 49ers. It is a 4-year, $76.4 million deal with $40 million guaranteed. Kathleen Doyle, former Big Ten Basketball Player of the Year at Iowa, has landed a job as assistant coach at DePaul. Also in women's basketball, the city of Columbia, South Carolina, plans to erect a statue of Gamecocks women's basketball coach Dawn Staley tomorrow. It was commissioned in 2023. The third round of the PGA Club Professional Championships is ongoing in Florida. Former Scott Unash High School teammate Jeff Schmid of Brown Deer in Coralville is on the course and is inside the top 15 in good shape for the final round tomorrow. And also North Carolina pro Adam Fisher, whose caddy is retired Channel 9 sports director and father-in-law Scott Savile, appears to have made the cut to the low 70 scores from the original 312-person field. The top 20 after tomorrow advance to the PGA Championships. And finally, Iowa women's basketball has extended an offer to Ashley Wilson, a seventh grader from Hill Murray School in suburban St. Paul, Minnesota. Wilson scored 31 points in a varsity game last season. Her sister, Maya, is the top-ranked sophomore in Minnesota. Scott, I saw some clips of this girl. She's 5'10". She can play. I care what grade she is. She can play.
I remember us talking about, what was it? It was either a sixth or a seventh grader a few years ago that I believe, I want to say Indiana men's basketball offered.
Could be.
And we were kind of.
Damon Bailey way back when.
Well, Damon Bailey, yeah. Yes. That was an eighth grader, I want to say, yeah. That Bobby Knight offered Damon Bailey. It's getting to be. Hey, listen. We were kind of having fun with the seventh grader, the eighth grader, or whatever it was, a couple years ago. And I guarantee you, Jan Jensen wasn't the first one to probably offer.
She's going
to
be offered by a lot of schools. She plays for the All-Iowa Attack, and her and her sister, and I'm sure Iowa's seen her many times, and same outfit that Caitlin Clark played with and has produced all kinds of college players.
Seventh grader. And they can, some states allow seventh graders to and eighth graders to play varsity basketball. Minnesota being one of them. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Rob Gray will join us from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk some Cyclone spring football and more with you after this here on the Tuesday edition of the Jim Class on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have more sunshine and less wind as the day goes on. Temperatures will be rising into the low to mid 60s, and then tonight with clear skies, we'll drop down into the low 40s. Tomorrow, clouds are going to be building in gradually through the morning, and some light showers will be moving in during the early afternoon. Rain will continue on and off into Wednesday evening, and then widespread showers will be possible Wednesday night into early Thursday. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel is your place to eat, play, stay 24 hours a day. With 1,300 slot machines, 25 table games, bingo, entertainment, three dining venues, Starbucks, and a luxury hotel, it's your perfect place for an exciting night out or a relaxing staycation. It's fight night at Meskwaki. Throne MMA makes its debut at Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel on Saturday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss your chance to witness this intense night of fights and jaw-dropping knockouts. Tickets are on sale now and start at $45. Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel, your moment, your place.
Must be 21 to attend. Please gamble responsibly. Void where prohibited.
Hey, want to make your next meal a little less ordinary? Well, head to Quick Star. Hey, we are so back serving up our legendary No Ordinary Chicken. Yeah, your dinner is hand-breaded, fried to perfection, ready to eat for tonight's dinner. Or you can buy it cold, sealed fresh for tomorrow's lunch. You know, we love to make life easier for you. This isn't just any chicken. It's Quick Star's No Ordinary Chicken. Stop into your local Quick Star today and taste the difference.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Adam Schefter here. When the draft clock is ticking, you've got to pick the best talent, regardless of position, to fit your team's needs. Well, if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the best talent for any of your roles. That's why you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology hustles to find qualified candidates for your job immediately. And if you see a standout candidate, ZipRecruiter lets you personally invite them to apply. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sports.
The sports calendar is heating up, and with ESPN Bet Sportsbook, you can go from checking news to stats to placing bets in a couple of taps. Stream games, bet live, and get exclusive offers when you link your ESPN account. Right now, you can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Back with you on the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on 1600 ESPN, 335 here as we get ready to talk some Cyclone football and a little bit of basketball, a little basketball news coming out of Ames as well. We're going to do that with Rob Gray here in just a little bit as Rob covers the Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette and for Cyclone Fanatic as well. And are we good? Yes, maybe. Spencer's looking at me. I can just ask the question. Rob, are you there? Rob is not there. All right, we'll try her again. We're on it. We got our best people on it. As we wait for Rob, it's a whole different situation now. As we've been talking about over the last few weeks as far as spring football is concerned, because of the fact that there aren't glorified games anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are just basically scrimmages for some teams. Some teams let the public in. Some teams don't let the public in. That's just kind of it's the new way of the world in Portal and NILville.
Some schools didn't have one. And, you know, at some places like Nebraska, Ohio State, Tennessee, they drew thousands of people, but in this era of transfer portal, I think some coaches are skittish about it.
Yeah, because they don't want to have other people take a look at their talent.
Yeah.
And like I said, that is just the world we live in here in 2025. So, yeah, we're trying to get that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I don't like it. I'd rather have go back to the days of a spring game. I don't like the fact my phone got updated today, and now I don't know how to run anything.
That's a whole different story, isn't it?
That is. If you're out there and you have an Android phone, and you put that update in today, just thinking that it was going to be, you know, your regular update, it was not. If you haven't done it yet, be prepared, because big changes are coming to your phone.
You figure it out yet?
I spent about half an hour before I went and mowed my lawn, which looked like a hayfield, after I'd been gone a few days, trying to figure out exactly how this works, that works. Oh, that used to do this. Now it doesn't do that anymore. But it's progress. I digress. 3:38, we're going to talk to Rob Gray coming up here in just a couple of moments as we'll talk about some Iowa State football. We mentioned some basketball news, some player personnel changes for the Cyclones, a few people going, some people coming in, including a former Iowan who is now back in the fold for Iowa State. Also picked up a pretty significant transfer that was a player of the year.
Black player of the year. Yeah. Utah Valley.
Correct.
A guard, yeah.
So we will talk about that with Mr. Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette and the Drake Relays, who joins us here on a Tuesday afternoon. How was the Big Blue Oval?
Well, it didn't rain much, and it certainly didn't snow, so it was as good as could be expected. Other than that, that's in the rear view.
Yeah, there you go. And a lot of things to talk about. Let's start with the draft. Iowa State having two wide receivers, as expected, going early. And lo and behold, they're going to be teammates again. So I bet they're pretty darn happy about that going to Houston.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think most people projected Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll as top three, you know, second or third. And that's how it played out. Higgins, the second pick in the draft, in the second round by the Houston Texans. And Knoll coming, I think, at pick 39 or whatever. At any rate, pretty unique situation, but one that made perfect sense for the Texans. I mean, they've got Nico Collins there, great receiver. They got Xavier Hutchinson, of course, former Cyclone, who apparently how he has comported himself there and, you know, how Houston as an organization feels about Matt Campbell's program at Iowa State really helped them be attracted to Higgins and Knoll. It's just unique, I guess, but a perfect situation for the Texans, I think, to get two high-level athletic guys, different body types. You got a go-to big target in Higgins, and you got a great slot guy, presumably projected in Jalen Knoll, who can give you a deep threat. And guys who know each other, guys who are roommates, guys who are fishing buddies. So, I mean, that's pretty nice to add to a room that had a few guys exit, and certainly they should be competing for some major playing time, I would think, next season.
Rob, what about Darian Porter and Jalen Travis, two guys also taken in the first four rounds? And it seems like Porter really opened people's eyes at the combine with his running and agility drills. And then there's Travis, who I think played just 1 year at Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are, I mean, they can be touted on the recruiting trail, all kinds of places by Matt Campbell and his staff about, you know, the whole come to Iowa State gambit, right? Darian Porter, great athlete, obviously, state champion. Couldn't find a home. They had him at receiver, but he was behind guys. Some of the same guys we were talking about earlier, including Xavier Hutchinson, but became an elite special teams player. I think he's Iowa State's leader in blocked kicks and the combination of kicks and punts, at least in the modern era. Just a great special teams player, parlayed his size and speed and skill and knowledge and work ethic into being a really good cornerback in his one season at the position as well. He graded out extremely well. I'm sure that played into it. But as you said, Mark, the combine numbers were off the charts. I mean, I remember we had cornerbacks coach Hank Poteet, of course, NFL champ with the New England Patriots, and I think a 10-year NFL vet. I asked him if he was at all surprised that Darian Porter ran a 4.3, and he just said he laughed, and absolutely not. And people were questioning him about Porter, and he just said he laughed at them because he just thought Porter would translate really well. So a real success story there. Stick with the program, develop. You put yourself in a position to be a second-day NFL draft pick. Jalen Travis, same situation. Really good player for Princeton. Gets his degree there, which is pretty valuable, I would say. has a lot of things he looks forward to outside of football, but obviously wants to go pro. Now he goes up against Big 12 competition. He goes up against Miami defensive line in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Could he have maybe snuck in late rounds as a Yale guy? As an Ivy League guy, Princeton guy? Maybe. But he comes to Iowa State, gets himself in the fourth round situation. Again, gets a combine invite, does really well at the combine. I mean, that's key development in one season with Iowa State, and the flip side is Darian Porter in 5-6 seasons. So, again, not unexpected. I think some people project as Travis maybe fifth or sixth round guy, but Porter had really, really, really rocketed up those draft charts, and for good reason.
Is there somebody that signed a free agent contract that you would almost, I'm not going to say guarantee, almost guarantee is going to make a team?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say Malik Berdone because he's been so good for Iowa State, and Cyclone fans know that he's a safety. It's been injured a lot. When he's on the field, the defense is so much better. That's been true throughout his career, but unfortunately injuries have accompanied him, bedeviled him throughout his career. If he can stay healthy, I think he's a guy that they'd really like to have because he could be really valuable in nickel situations too. And I'm not saying the other guys can't stick because I think they all could. And Jared Hufford, I think, of offensive line. I mean, You know, who knows about J.R. Singleton and you know, Steve Aklot's very valuable hybrid tight end, great blocker, and can surprising pass catcher. Those guys could stick. But I think Malik Verdone is the leader in the clubhouse in that area.
Iowa State has certainly has some, every team has loses players, but certainly some good pieces coming back for next year, led by Rocco Beck, that quarterback. What have we learned in, from spring practice?
Well, Coach Campbell was really candid there. Now, just as a quick aside, Miles Purchase also was a guy, undrafted free agent. I hope I'm not missing anyone. I may have missed somebody else, but he's got a chance as well. But Coach Campbell was very, as I said, candid. He said spring ball is, first of all, he talked about how impressed he was with a lot of guys, younger guys, guys coming back too that need to assume leadership roles both on and off the field. But he also talked about how spring practice is not a whole lot of good. There's a lot of bad, and that's necessary because guys are getting reps. Guys are getting reps that haven't gotten reps before, whether they're freshmen that came in, whether they're guys who redshirted. You know, it's a different animal in the spring. They made a big deal about how in camp, spring and fall, he'll make all kinds of crazy situations, try to keep guys on their toes, off balance as well. You know, make things difficult because he's a big believer, and I know a lot of coaches are, and it might be considered coach speak, that you got to put people in positions to fail and experience that failure and grow from it. So that was something they talked about. But, I mean, like you said, Rocco, going to be a third-year starter, a very, very good quarterback for Iowa State, added some elements of the run game last season that he hadn't shown as much before. You know, he got a nice core of receivers. Going to be nice to have Daniel Jackson, a guy who's been just – you talk about being hit by injuries. I mean, that guy literally got hit by a car or he got a car accident before he came to Iowa State and you know, missed all last season, had an injury preseason. So getting him back when you throw in the transfers, like Xavier Townsend out of UCF, a guy that they had prior relationship with, really wanted him to come a few years back. And then Chase Sowell, also a transfer, big Higgins-type guy. They feel good there. And again, you look at the linebacker room. So many injuries last season really made that unit dicey. A lot of games. Well, now they've got experience. They feel like they got a true almost three deep of experience there, but a really strong two deep. And that's something I had developed a little bit of safety too. You know, I think the Lions are going to continue to be question marks. I mean, Iowa State did not produce almost any pressure on quarterbacks last season. That's got to change. They've got some transfers there, some guys who have come up into the program. They're important. O-line's always a proving ground. Certainly getting a guy drafted and getting a guy like Hufford as an undrafted free agent, those are holes to fill. But I think they feel good about what they've got. So, again, spring is where the cliche hope springs eternal is fully in play. But Campbell certainly talked about there's a lot of ugly stuff going on that you got to wince a little bit through in order to grow in entering summer workouts. And then, of course, once you get into the meat of fall camp.
Yeah, you mentioned the linebacking core and, you know, two deeps pretty solidly developed right now, some people moving in. And I do apologize because the name escapes me right now. And all through that answer, I was trying to think, what's his name? But Iowa State did have one that went into the portal that got some minutes last year because of injuries. And I was just kind of wondering if that was the main reason why he is moving on.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Jack Sadowski.
Yes, Jack Sadowski. Thank you.
As a true freshman, and just, I don't know, for whatever reason, guys were beating him out, frankly. And he did get more time because of those injuries. But, I mean, so many guys did. Bo Goodwin, you know, a former, you know, played eight-man football. I think he played full 11-man his last season as a high schooler. But a lot of small-town Iowans in there. Caleb Bacon coming back was so great in the pass rush and as a hard hitter, you know. Lost him first game of the season. Lost Carson Willick, protective starter in spring ball. So you developed a lot of different guys, and I think it's pretty clear the writing on the wall for Sadowski was probably not going to crack. He might have a hard time even cracking the two deep, but certainly when you got Will McLaughlin coming back as well, who missed most of last season with injury, you've got a solid starting core, and like I said, very solid two unit and even parts of the three.
Matt Campbell putting together a nice 2026 class, and I'm curious, Rob, to what do you attribute his success in recruiting Nebraska, getting a handful of the top players out of that state, including a four-star quarterback.
Well, and then that quarterback, and unfortunately his name is escaping me for a moment, but also got invited to an Elite 11 deal. So, I mean, Alex Mansky, the redshirted last season and has been banged up, but he's getting some reps in spring, also was in that spot. You know, the kid out of Algona. So, well, Nebraska will tell you, as you know, I'm sure you've seen Matt Rule's comments, that they're not interested in these guys. Not interested in a four-star quarterback is kind of a head-scratcher. But you know, all kidding aside, I guess, they are getting guys that in Nebraska, for whatever reason, aren't on very early. I mean, you even go back to a couple of years ago, Ben Bramer, who, of course, also was tight ends room, was another room really hit by injury, and that allowed Gabe Burkle, of course, Cedar Rapids' own, to really, really come on, especially late in the season, made some huge plays. But Ben Bramer comes out of Nebraska. I mean, excellent receiver day one, receiving tight end for Iowa State day one, and then really develops into a full tight end, and again, coming off injury. It's I think in part, Nebraska feels like, because they're in the Big Ten, they're in the Big Two conferences, right? The Big Ten, SEC, that they have to have a little bit more of a national perspective. That's the only thing I can think of, because they're passing on some guys that Iowa State is happy to latch onto. And certainly the quarterback, again, is a real head-scratcher. But, you know, they're kind of set at that position, they feel like, and some of that is a numbers game. But certainly, Iowa State is very happy that Nebraska is, you know, certainly not looking to hold on to some of the guys that they feel highly about.
Rob Gray joining us from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We've been talking some football, a little bit of basketball, and big news: Mason Williams from Eastern Washington announcing that he is going to play for T.J. Otzelberger and Iowa State. And this guy, pretty darn good player, and I think he just shot two more free throws as we were talking. He gets to the free throw line a ton.
Yeah, Williams is a really, really skilled player, and the guy they just picked up, which they thought they might be done after getting some raises for some guys, in particular Joshua Jefferson, Taman Lipsy, and Milan Momchilovic on the NIL front. Still feels weird saying that, but it's true. nonetheless, Dominic Nelson, the Utah Valley guard, yep, back player of the year. I think the number is he shot 60-plus more free throws than any Cyclone did, and that was Joshua Jefferson. Again, a guy who shot it, you know, like 69%, so you'd like a little bit better percentage, but Iowa State's offense has gotten better under Otzelberger, in part because they get guys who can slash to the rim, finish, get to the line. We saw that from Keyshawn Gilbert before he had the injury and then whatever played out towards the end of last season. Certainly we've seen it with some other guys, but you bring in a guy, I think I looked it up, he ranks 13th nationally in free throw attempts in total number, and I think in terms of rate, in terms of, when you look at his total minutes, he may have led the nation. That's just huge, because when you go into the deep freeze, maybe you can't hit a field goal, tack the rim, get to the line, that guy can get you a point or two every time, and that starts to, you know, revive the offense. So they've really had some nice pieces in the portal when they added, where I think everyone that left, they expected to leave. You know, they replaced Biggs with a kid from Virginia, and of course, from Purdue Fort Wayne, the Oskaloosa kid Mulder. So I think they feel really pleased about what they've done in the portal as well. When at times it looked like, how well is this going to work? I feel like they've found the pieces they feel fit their identity heading into this summer when they'll start practicing.
How's the Cytown progress?
Well, they have had, I think, a groundbreaking at the McFarland Clinic location there, which is part of it. Jamie Pollard has said it's going along nicely. Obviously, you want to see the entertainment venues, the food venues, all those things kind of flow in. But it's an interesting project, and I think one that really could enhance Iowa State, you know, in terms of experience and in terms of finances. So as far as I know, everything's going along well. Obviously, long ways to go still, but they like the progress that's been made. And again, at least it's been one groundbreaking. So go by there every time. It looks a little bit different.
And Boys State basketball headed to Ames in a few years. So that's going to be a big, big thing for Sightown right there. So that'll be fun.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to believe that. I mean, I think that's an underrated news item. I mean, and kind of neat to have Hilton as a for that situation. I mean, it's that's a nice combination. Thanks for bringing that up, Scott, because it was one that had receded to forefront pre-Drake relays, kind of receded back, and now is snapping back into post-Drake relays position.
All right. Hey, Rob, thanks for the information. Appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Rob Gray joining us from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette covering the Iowa State Cyclones. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
Vivid Seats is your ultimate destination for basketball and hockey this season. With a game-changing rewards program and an unbeatable selection of tickets, they make it easy for every fan to watch their favorite teams and players in action. Catch every one-timer and buzzer-beating three live and in person from your favorite seat. Plus, every ticket is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you peace of mind with every purchase. Don't miss out. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Back with you to wrap things up, Spencer on Sports in the On Deck Circle, taking you from 4 until 6. Cubs baseball coming up tonight for you right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Tomorrow we'll talk fantasy baseball, so get your fantasy baseball questions ready to go. We'll talk a little bit of fantasy baseball, baseball in general. We'll do that with John Venenzia tomorrow. Been working on that name for the last 2 weeks. And then on Thursday, we will talk with Barry Abrams. The annual Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, will come up, and that will be on Saturday. We'll have our picks, dare I say, on Thursday.
I already got my two. I told you.
You already.
It's journalism and publishing.
What are the odds on that horse right now?
Journalism is a favorite right now.
Okay.
Publisher's always, publisher's never the favorite.
Just like the industry, right? Just kidding. So we'll do that coming up on Thursday. And we'll get ready for Spencer on Sports. Another opportunity for you to enter into the Spring of the Cash giveaway around 5:30 with Spencer. Have a good night, Mark.
We'll do it. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. This has been the Gym Class right here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Hope you enjoyed it. Back with you tomorrow afternoon at 3.
Do you have trouble getting in and out of the bathtub? Are you afraid you'll slip and fall entering?